This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Steve Ballmer's new palace officially open for business. They'd had a couple of concerts and a preseason game, but fully activated Intuit Dome last night as the Clippers hosted the Phoenix Suns. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, here on 97.3 The Fan. We've got Real or Fake coming up in a couple of minutes. If you'd like to be our contestant, chance to win Dia de los Deftones tickets, 833-288-0973. So we had heard, you know, some of the details, obviously, as they were building this $2 billion arena the last couple of years up in Inglewood, but really got to see it in action last night. And I saw a few of the videos of the technology that they have, the 4K Halo board that's two-sided, that's gigantic, that goes around the whole arena, and what they can do with it. The entry, facial recognition technology. So if you've got your, you know, you buy your ticket in advance and you go onto their app and register basically your face, you just walk right through. They call it like a zoom through.
It's unreal.
You don't have to stop and show your ticket to anybody. It's just, it scans your face and they go, oh yeah, that guy's got a ticket. We already know him. We know his face.
Are you kidding me?
And you just walk right in. The details that they have thought of in this place, they upgraded like the traffic signals all around the Intuit Dome in Inglewood so that they can control them both before and after the game. So like more greens on the way in and more greens on the way out to get people in and out of the arena faster. There's a real, you know, Jurassic Park spared no expense vibe. Yeah. To this arena that Steve Ballmer built. And the signature feature, which was on display last night, the wall, which Ballmer came down when they were, you know, brainstorming ideas and came down to Viejas Arena and saw
Kawhi's
the show.
Retirement
yeah,
jersey.
And he was so impressed by the show,
yeah,
he said,
right,
I want to do something like that. So what they built, they call it the wall, and it's a seating section right behind the basket that the opposing team is headed toward in the second half. And it's 51 uninterrupted rows. So no, you know, there's no
tunnel
or anything. It's just a wall, and it's steeper than any of the other sections. And you have to shoot your free throws right into it. And yesterday, Kevin Durant, you know, was one of the guys who got fouled in the second half, went to the line for two free throws, 88% career shooter. Missed them both and said, it's hard not to just look at that thing. They're right on top of you. They're screaming. And by the way, anytime they miss two consecutive free throws, an opposing team, free Chick-fil-A sandwiches for everybody in the wall. So they are going absolutely nuts to try to get you to miss. You have to register to buy tickets in that wall. You have to register yourself as like, you have to follow the Clippers Instagram, like be a true Clippers fan. There's no opposing colors allowed in the section. And, you know, they'll do whatever they can to try to distract you. And it worked. And even the Suns players admitted, it's hard not to. I haven't seen that since anything like that since college. This is different from most NBA arenas.
That's
so
pretty crazy.
Made a pretty big impression on people last night. And everyone's saying really kind of goes to the top of the list already. There are all the seats have, like you can do interactive games. You know when you do like the helmet shuffle at Petco Park and you just like yell, oh, one,
three,
two. They actually have the buttons so you can like
vote,
pick and vote and do everything at your seat. They have, you know how the, you know, make noise and louder and you do the decibel monitor. I'm always skeptical of those. You know, they're just randomly assigning numbers. They don't have a real decibel. They actually do at the Intuit Dome. In fact, they can specify by the seat how loud each person is. Like,
good
they
Lord.
they can use their technology and go, oh, this is the loudest fan right now. They are literally the one in, you know, row 17 that is making the most noise in the entire arena with their technology. Over 1,100 toilets, like three times the number of a normal arena, so no one ever has to wait. It's a definite marvel, to be sure.
Yeah, 51 uninterrupted rows of seats.
The toilets!
The first 13 rows are filled with Clippers diehards whose fandom is vetted by the franchise beforehand. So we wanted tickets. We could not get tickets in that spot.
No, we don't have our bona fides.
That is pretty cool. And certainly with that home field advantage and that new home court advantage and that new arena, you won your first game.
They lost in overtime. There's only so much you can do when you don't have Kawhi Leonard
right
on the court, and your team is definitely not at full strength. They even have a new musical Clipper theme composed by Hans Zimmer.
Wow.
It's like Hollywood, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Interstellar, does big movie music, compose their own theme. So definitely like the guy who owned Jurassic Park. That's the voice of Richard Kiley. We spared no expense.
It's amazing.
Steve Ballmer spent everything.
I was in Buzz Lightyear yesterday, and Buzz was talking to the crowd as we were waiting in line, and I said, well, that's not Tim Allen's voice. You couldn't have gotten Tim Allen. Now, of course, you go to Pirates of the Caribbean, it's Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. At the very end, he's sitting there, and yo, ho, ho, it's really his voice. Tim Allen did not do Buzz Lightyear in the ride, which I'd noticed that yesterday. So they did spare expense.
They did spare expense.
They did. Steve Ballmer would never let that fly.
No.
That place sounds amazing. I'd like to go to a game.
I am curious at least to go and see what it's like. Yeah. They have the wave, which they use the Halo board, and then it starts like raining, and then the LED lights, it looks like rain in the stands.
So cool.
It's all coming down.
Sphere with a basketball court.
It's like the sphere, but a basketball game, essentially.
You could absolutely play basketball in the sphere, and it would be the greatest experience of your life. Yeah, that sounds really, really cool.
So, I don't know if it's going to help them win games or not, but even the Suns admitted, that wall is it's a distraction.
KD said it got him.
And the Clippers came back in the second half. They were down double digits early and helped in the second half as they came back, and they had a chance to win. Harden had the ball at the end of regulation and at the chance at the end of overtime, and they just could not get it done yesterday.
Yep.
So, all right, do you want to play a little real or fake?
Yeah, let's do it.
Contestants on the line. All right, let's get to it.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Tell Neil, who is going to be our contestant, that he can win a pair of tickets to the sold-out Dia de los Deftones at Petco Park on November 2nd, featuring the Deftones, Idols, Paris, Texas, and more. Wood's a big fan. How many times have you gone?
I've been every one.
Every single one?
Every single one.
There's four or five of them now?
Five of them. Yeah.
Neil, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. Neil. So Woods wants you to win this prize. He can help you win this prize. Maybe. We'll see. All right. Today on Real or Fake, it is basketball season. Being an NBA player, really good job if you can get it. And you don't even need to be particularly famous to make big money. Today on Real or Fake, Neil, I will give you a name. You tell me if they are a real NBA player who has a contract worth at least $100 million or a fake, in this case, an NFL player with a contract worth $100 million.
Ooh, here we go.
They should be like superstars, right?
Right.
Every single name that I am going to give you is making nine
figures.
$100
million.
All right, are you ready to go, Neil?
Let's do it.
Let's go, all right, baby. Round one. Jarrett Allen. Real or fake basketball player making at least $100 million. Jarrett Allen.
Fake.
Cleveland Cavaliers. 5 years, $100 million. All right, that's all right. You only need four out of seven right. You don't need to get them all.
I would have said fake as well. I thought
Jarrett Allen. Jarrett Allen.
I don't know that you make $100 million.
I think Jarrett Allen's retired at this point. So, all right, let's go round number two. Chris Lindstrom. Chris Lindstrom, real or fake, Neil?
You got an inkling on this one?
Sounds like a basketball player to me. I'll say real.
Neil?
I'm going to have to go fake.
Oh, ooh, look at that.
And he's right. Bam. Atlanta Falcons offensive lineman Chris Lindstrom.
All right, good call.
Making nine figures. All right, that's one correct. Let's go to round number three.
Fade me all day. I don't care.
John Collins, real or fake basketball player with a nine-figure contract, Neil?
It's a pretty generic name. So generic. Real?
Real.
Utah Jazz, 5 years, $125 million. All right, you're on a roll now.
Speaking
That's two
generic,
right.
The Utah Jazz.
All right, let's go to Round four. Devin Vassell. Devin Vassell. Real or fake basketball player?
I think real.
You think so?
Yeah, real.
San Antonio Spurs. 5 years, $135 million. All you need is one more right, and you are going to win our game. Brian Burns. Brian Burns. Real or fake, Neil?
What?
Basketball.
Basketball, real. He says. Neil, you didn't go with him last time.
I'm going with him.
Real.
Damn it!
New York Giants offensive lineman Brian Burns. All right, that's all right. Let's go to round number six. You got a couple of chances here. Chris Jones. Chris Jones. Real or fake? One. He knows this one.
Yeah.
He's definitely a football player.
Football player.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs. That's a win. Congratulations, Neil. Hang on the line. Paul,
Neil,
I'll get your information.
I will see you at Dia de los Deftones. It will be one of the best nights of your year. It's so epic.
Trey Murphy III, Woods.
That sounds like a basketball player.
It is. New Orleans Pelicans, 4 years, $112 million.
I've never heard of a lot of those.
That's
no
why
doubt,
I put them in.
Brian Burns makes $100 million.
$100 million.
Is he like a guard or something?
Who is he? Yeah, he's. Let's see. He plays for the Giants. Let's see. Let me get his specific position. I don't know linemen that well
end.
Either. Defensive end for the. They're all somewhere on a line, defensive or offensive.
Tough night for the Pelicans last night, Penny. Losing.
Yes, they did. DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray fractured left hand. Is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Tough. I was listening to some NBA radio driving in. It's no big deal. It's just what I do now. That's just what I do.
You're very excited about the start of basketball season.
Yeah, I got home last night, and you know there wasn't a lot on, and I was pretty wiped. But I didn't watch any games, but I was following along. I'm sure you guys talked all about the LeBron and Bronny moment. What were your thoughts? I'm going to guess Paul was all in on it. You liked it.
Paul, he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
You had no problem with the Bronny moment.
Bronny and
no, I thought it was great.
Okay.
Yeah, great game.
Now I think Ben. I think you might have gone a little edgelord on it.
Nope. I loved it.
You loved it. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I did see those takes.
Oh, yeah. I saw many.
And I said it yesterday morning. I said,
they're fair
anybody
takes.
That does. No, it's
they're
not.
Fair. They're fair. It's a fair take.
No, it's not.
To say it's manufactured, it's fair.
To have a problem with it is
to have a problem lame. With it is lame. But to say that it was a manufactured.
Oh, yeah. It was 100%. Right. Everybody knew. Everybody that has been paying attention
they knew, that
knew exactly what was happening.
I wanted this.
I've wanted it for years.
Years.
Once and a lifetime moment.
When the moment itself happened. Dude, the audio of him, you ready?
Oh, that was
bro,
we played that. It was great.
I loved it. It gave
don't,
me goosebumps.
Don't let the intensity be too much.
Yeah, hey, like, you see how intense it is? Yeah, it's just a father and son, man. Like, I thought that was the raddest thing. Yeah, and, you know, obviously people ripping on Bronny for his lack of ability now.
I guess it would be nice if every NBA player could
got
have that,
that
with their son, and that obviously will never, ever happen.
Play in the league for 20 plus years.
But yeah,
be LeBron James
LeBron
and we'll have a shot.
LeBron right. is LeBron, and if anyone's earned it, he's earned it. And by the way, while of course Bronny is not at a level where he should really be
right.
a daily NBA player at this point, when he was in high school, he was projected, like a lot of people said, probably going to play a year and then be a second round pick. If he hadn't had a heart attack,
yes,
he probably would have been on this track anyway. Now you look at him on the court and you go, he's a little undersized. It might be tough for him to ever develop into a.
Don't get a lot of minutes on opening.
Yeah,
night.
Exactly.
There the was, fact that he got any was manufactured.
There was artificiality to it, to be
still
sure.
Still cool though,
but he didn't look overmatched out there. You
he
know,
got off a really good look on a three. Yeah. I thought he had it. When it went, the whole place just goes like this.
Yeah. That was the only disappointment. If they had made that, it really would have just been the perfect night.
LeBron in that game with one of. The sickest dunks I have ever seen, not only from a 40-year-old, but the fact that he's 40 and threw it down like that was
and
was
I
ridiculous.
Loved how LeBron appreciated it. After the game, he basically said, this was like a perfect day.
That's so cool.
I woke up, it was my daughter's 10th birthday, and I was with my family, and I go to work, and I'm with my son, and he's there with me, and then my family comes to the game, and we have this moment, and they come. I mean, you know,
like
I've been waiting for years. It was literally my perfect day. As a dad and a basketball
yeah,
player.
It's not the,
and they won the game, and they played well.
It's not the big travesty that so many in the media are
no.
painting it as. It's not like I saw Michelle Beadle, like, lost her mind yeah. about it. Like, holy crap. And then somebody made the point, Michelle, you were waiting tables until your dad got you a gig because he knew the president of the Spurs. You know what I mean? Like, let's everybody that can have an advantage. It doesn't mean that it didn't earn it, you know, in some way, shape, or form. But I thought it was a really cool. I mean, if you're a dad and you see that moment, you go,
I was watching it at work with Wally. He was almost in tears, like, this is so unbelievable.
Wouldn't you have
cool.
loved your dad to bring you out on the court?
I would have loved my dad to bring me anywhere.
To do anything.
Just
take me for an omelet.
Watch a basketball game.
Makes my skin crawl. Benny, you play golf with your dad a lot.
I do.
How special is that?
It's always special.
Every single time. I'm horrible at golf. And I love playing with my dad. Because guess what? It's one of his life's passions. It's so fun to be able to go out and do that. Now, obviously, it's not at the level that these guys are doing it at, but that just happens to be the level that they're at. Don't expect many more minutes for Bronny, right, for the rest of the season.
I wouldn't think so. Now, if they force him to, like, play a bunch, like LeBron goes, oh, no, we need him
to up his
minutes a little bit. Okay, yeah. then we can let the hot takes start to fly.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we will come back. Don't do this. Actually, the other end of the basketball spectrum last night, one of the worst teams doing something you almost never see in an NBA game. For Don't Do This when we come back. Neil, hang on the line. Paulie's going to get your information. We'll be back right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're just 2 days into the basketball season. You may not see this again all year. In fact, I don't know the last time it was actually called in an NBA game, but the Detroit Pistons.
I meant to ask you, this is not some, you know, you see in football 12 men on the field all the time.
Of course.
You see it once a game.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there's a lot of confusion and moving parts when it comes to switching out special teams.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, someone thinks, oh, this guy's injured. I'm supposed to go in.
Right.
And no one told him. Oh, no, he's back.
This
and then
was
you
wild.
End up with 12 on the field. It happens. But in baseball, like you rarely see a 10 men on the field penalty.
Adult league, you'll see two guys run out to the same position. But one of them will go,
they don't stay there. But in the NBA, it is so blatantly obvious when you have an extra man on the court. There is only supposed to be 10 players on the court.
Five apiece.
When there's an 11th guy out there, it really feels weird. But it actually happened yesterday.
Amazing.
In the Detroit
Pistons. Especially if you're playing like a man defense.
Yeah,
like,
well,
one guy's just wandering.
And they were. So they came out of a timeout. New coach, J.B. Bickerstaff. They came out of the timeout, and no one caught it for like 5 or 6 seconds. They inbounded the ball.
They inbounded.
And there were three Pistons coming up, you know, like breaking the press. And then they got across half court, and there was man-to-man, and two guys were covered. And one guy was wide open in the corner and going... How does that happen? That he's wide? Because, well, you have six and they have five. You're on the power play for the first time in the NBA. We had a power play, 6-on-5, and they assessed a very rare technical foul to J.B. Bickerstaff for six players on the court, and he was yelling at the rest. He was trying to leave the court.
No, he wasn't.
They were all out there just playing.
The announcers did the thing where he's like, look, all right,
tell
one,
us better,
two, three, now look down here, 4, 5, 6. Come on, bro.
Now that would be a wrinkle to change the NBA.
With a penalty?
Fouls are like penalties in hockey,
power play, two minutes,
and the other team, you're either playing 5-on-4 or... The other team just gets a
Could you stop any? If you had one extra man in the
basketball,
NBA,
no,
you'd have to play a zone sort of defense.
Right.
But I don't know that you could ever stop anyone. They'd have
what's your zone? Two.
You'd pretty much get an uncontested basket
one,
every time.
1-3.
You make enough good passes, you can beat a zone 5-on-5. If you have six guys, it's no problem.
Adam Paul says it happened a couple of years ago at a Sixers game. Who were the culprits? The Sixers?
Well, they are the Sixers, not the Fivers.
The Sixers, 76ers. The 76 man on the field. Yeah, I saw that last night. I had to laugh. It's just not something you're going to see a whole lot of.
Has there ever been a 10 man on the field like in extra baseball? I mean, you would know, obviously.
No, it would be way innings, too obvious.
Like, why are we both out here at shortstop at the same time?
This is a pretty funny story for Don't Do This. There's video of it, but I'll describe it. It's a Zamboni driver from Gatineau, that's an area in Canada, I guess, was arrested for, he resurfaced the ice.
Like he's supposed to.
As he's supposed to. It's his job. He was under the influence. He had a few too many. And he was also dressed as a kangaroo. You heard me right. With a hood over his head as he begins to resurface the ice.
Was the hood part of the kangaroo costume?
It was like the...
With the ears?
Yeah, the
hood with
the ears.
Okay.
And he's hammered. And he's driving this Zamboni. And he loses control of it. And it smashes into the wall near the end of the video. And he was arrested. That is driving under the influence.
That is a vehicle. You're operating a motor vehicle.
ZUI.
Zamboni
under the influence. Maybe he was just a day early because it is National Kangaroo Awareness Day.
Maybe. But they hauled him away, man. Yeah, you can't drive a golf cart under the influence. You can't drive a Zamboni. You can't operate a moving vehicle under the influence.
You can do the Autopia at Disneyland after having a couple because it's on a track.
That's true.
You can't really mess that up.
Yeah, but who would? You know, who would?
Probably a lot of illegal activity at every golf course. Every day, apparently.
I know.
It's a good point.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think it's on a road.
City roads.
City roads, you know. But this wasn't on a city road. This was on the ice.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's weird.
I mean, you wouldn't want to accidentally run over someone with one of those Zambonis.
No, you would not. But him losing control of it, and then it just, bam, right into the wall at the
Andrew
end.
Says, fun fact, you can get a DUI for riding a horse under the influence.
I've heard about that.
I have not heard about that.
Bicycle?
I think you can. Bicycles and even like skateboards.
Well.
Anderson says, is anything you can steer? Can you steer a horse? Doesn't the horse...
Oh, yeah. No, you can steer
a horse. You can hope that you can steer a horse, but ultimately the horse is just going to go where the horse wants to go.
That's not true at all. If that was the case, then the Olympics would be one big crapshoot. How about at Del Mar? Do you think they just wind them up? The guy's like, here we go. This should be fun. Of course you can steer a horse. Of course you can. In fact, the ones that do it better than anyone, they win a lot of money.
Just going around backwards.
Here we go, buddy. Oh, God. He just starts zigzagging. Of course. Of course. That's great. What's your do this?
All right, do this.
DD mega do.
I'm all about doing your civic duty, so I'm going to shout out Brandon Aubrey, the kicker for the Dallas Cowboys, who was missing from practice yesterday because he was serving jury duty. Not only reporting, but he actually got seated on a 12-person felony assault case in Tarrant County in Texas. It's a case is reportedly centered around a second-degree strangulation charge and may actually be one of those cases that lasts several days. So he may miss practice today and tomorrow and into next week. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, according to some reports, did try to pull a string or two and say, can we get him off and delay him until the offseason?
He said, Jerry Jones.
He said, no, I'm going to do my duty. I've been seated on this trial. Now, maybe he's just next level going, I don't have to practice. I can still play in the game Sunday. There's no court on Sunday, so I'll just show up and
good point.
Kick. The Cowboys play the 49ers. What am I, miss a couple practices, a little running that we're supposed to do, and I'll just show up for the game on Sunday. Thank you, and then I'll go back to my trial on Monday morning.
That's a brilliant way to get out of practice.
And
I always gave blood in high school to get out of having to go to practice later that day.
Yeah,
said you can't do activities.
Yeah, need to rest. I need to have my cookie and my juice.
Just wanted to save some lives.
And the coach really couldn't say anything about it, even though he was probably ticked off.
He was pissed,
but he can't go like
can't call you a name.
You can't
He literally met, me and my buddy in the gym where we were having all the beds and everything. He met us there and was hoping to beat us there when he heard that we were going to be giving blood. And then the gym and we're already sitting there with the needle in our arms.
Smiling
like,
at him.
Sorry.
Like, too late.
Cookies in hand.
Sorry, bro. I'll see you at the game, though.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be good to go on Thursday night. Don't worry.
Yeah, the jury duty is an interesting one.
Have you ever done it?
I have. Once. Some reason I don't get the summons anymore.
You don't get the summons anymore?
Nope.
Or you throw away the summons when you get it?
I just don't see them.
Yeah, same here.
Selective
vision. I've never seen them.
I haven't got one in a while. I've served on two juries. I was the foreperson on a jury.
Of course you were.
What was the charge?
I did one with solicitation, prostitution. And that was the one I was the foreperson. And I was also on a DUI case.
Tell me about it. The solicitation one.
So the solicitation one, I believe, well, I don't know the names of anyone involved, but it was a lady who was arrested for, I think it was up in Escondido somewhere. And she was basically just standing on a street corner.
Where specifically in Escondido?
I don't go for research purposes.
Like you said, not too specifics. But the cops who arrested her didn't really have anything on her other than she was dressed provocatively.
Right.
And, you know, was in a known location of solicitation for prostitution.
So they didn't actually solicit anyone.
So ooh, we found her
arrested for dressing provocatively.
Well, they did, but we found her not guilty.
Look at you.
Yeah.
The wheels of justice. Now, you were the foreperson in this one?
I was the foreperson. I wanted to make sure that we efficiently handled that one. And we got out of there pretty quickly.
Yeah. Did you volunteer or do you get deemed the foreperson?
So, no, I volunteered on that one. Once we were in there, you go around, once you're in the jury room.
He said, nobody knows solicitation like I do. Nobody.
Quiz me.
I said,
no,
I can spot it a mile away.
Said,
I can tell you right now,
anyone,
she's innocent.
Has anyone ever done a trial like this before? And I said, I've been on a jury before. And they said, well, you want to be the foreperson? I said, sure, I'll do it. So you just kind of organize and make sure you get everyone's kind of vote. You do secret ballots and you look, okay, we got 9 not guilties and 3 guilties. And then you talk it over a little bit more about, okay, why do you think they're not guilty? Why do you think they're guilty? And it was simply...
Was it 9-3?
I don't remember. Well, I mean, it has to be unanimous you decide. But
right.
originally it was 9-3. And
really?
I kind of convinced the other three. Okay, obviously, probably she is a prostitute. I mean, but... Did they actually prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt? And I think
you can't just
based
guess.
On the evidence, I think the clear answer was no. I mean,
if
they didn't really have.
Don't fit. You must acquit.
You must acquit.
Anything specifically on it. Now, the DUI case I was on was actually a little more interesting because it was a guy. They never actually pulled him over for DUI, but they had him in the bar, like the bartender serving him a ton of drinks, and his car was there. And then he went over to like his ex-wife's house and was causing a disturbance. And they knew he must have driven over there, so they had to kind of go through a lot of the testimony establishing.
Piece it together.
Okay, he was here, then his car was there, we know his car was here, we have the evidence of this and that. And he was like, I didn't actually buy a drink at the bar, but the bartender like had to come in and testify,
wow.
No, actually we did
serve
you drinks, and then you were definitely here, and the ex-wife had to testify, yes, he was at my house and acting... extremely erratic and agitated, and his car was there in front,
guilty.
And it had been, and we did find him guilty on that one.
Wow. Yeah, I never got selected. I went.
No, you just went and did the day.
I went
and
did
then
the day.
Got released.
Got released.
Well, that's jury duty. That's.
Oh, isn't it?
No, I mean it is.
But, no, I've never had to serve on a jury. They don't. You don't want me on there.
No.
No attorney wants me.
Probably
on there.
Probably not.
No. That's fascinating.
And that's don't and do this.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It's almost 7 years in. First time I've heard he's letting prostitutes go free. I've never heard this.
Alleged
prostitutes.
Yeah,
forgot that.
Good Keep the
you.
Stories coming, man.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Whatever you think is not interesting, it is. All right?
All right. Padres, we talked about the with Sammy yesterday how... Even to bring back the players they had this season is going to be costly and put them over the salary.
They're still beating
luxury
this
tax
drum.
Level. But there's some new projections out for
it's
what
a long off season, man.
It is what it may cost to bring back guys like Jerks and Profar.
This guy's a kook, I think.
Is he? Okay.
I think he's a kook. I mean, but we'll talk about how kooky some of these numbers are.
All right. Because
I was at Disneyland yesterday with my wife going, this can't be right. This cannot be right. What is this? Divide this for me. That's a true story.
We will get to that next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Woods is very skeptical that the account MLB Executive Burner may not, in fact, be an MLB executive posting inside information about the sport.
I've had some experience with this guy. Now, if it all comes out and he's right, I'll give credit where credit is due. But this guy's a bit of a kook. I've seen some of his stuff before.
All right. Well, maybe we're giving it too much oxygen.
Yeah, it's fine. But, it's the offseason.
I mean, there is a number that is going to come in for players like Ha-Sung Kim and Jerickson Profar this offseason. What that number is, we don't know. So all we can do is speculate. And these are, whether he's right or wrong, he has speculated on some numbers. We will talk about those coming up right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So, yeah, I mean, maybe this guy has no idea what he's talking about when it comes to, you know, projected contracts. But you don't get real MLB GMs, speculating about what guys are going to cost.
Right.
It's just not something they're going to talk about. Doesn't do them any good to throw out numbers that are either way too high or way too low. Those conversations happen in private with agents, and that's how it works. And we find out at the end what they end up settling on. But there are numbers that are going to get this done, and I think Jerickson Profar is obviously one of the more interesting free agent cases we've seen in quite some time in Major League Baseball. If you knew nothing other than what Jerickson Profar did last season and just looked at his numbers in a vacuum, and an all-star appearance, over 20 home runs, a career high.
You saw what he made last year.
OPS, one of the top outfielders in the National League all season long. You would clearly go, that guy's, based on what other salaries are in baseball, $20 to $30 million a year player. No doubt about it. But this is not a vacuum. We have a big pile of data on Jerickson Profar, who has been in baseball for more than 10 years, got his 10-year chip of service time. Wasn't it during early last season,
yeah,
I believe?
Early last year.
So there's a lot of data on Jerickson Profar. And he does a lot of things well. He got a good eye at the plate, works at bats well. He's a good teammate, plays, decent defense in the outfield. He's got a good, accurate arm. He's got a nice swing. But over the first 9-plus seasons of Jerickson Profar's career, didn't add up to a player that was necessarily considered a premier offensive threat in the game.
Had some good years. He's had some good good years in Oakland, good years in Texas, but good years. Last year was really, really special for Jerickson Profar. And I know, he tailed off at the end of the year, but you'll remember, man, he was well over 300 for a lot of the season. Tailed off again, like I said, OBP of 380, a batting average of 280, slugged 459, WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, averages 100. He was at 139. He was a 4.3 WAR player last year, according to Fangraphs. So, yeah, man. I mean, valuable as hell. And we don't get anywhere near as far as we did in the regular season without Jerickson Profar. And I think what a lot of us are doing, and I'll just speak for myself, we have a lot of opinions on guys right now that may be coming up for free agency or arbitration, Benny. Speaking for me, all I can think of is what happened in the postseason. I'm sorry. I know that's not the right way to be. Like, I looked at Dylan Cease in the postseason, I was like, let's see. Right? Like, yeah, we need you for the regular season, but you can't go nuts and give this guy a huge multi-year, $25, $30 million a year deal. You just, can you?
Somebody else will.
Somebody else probably will. Jerickson Profar. It's another one. I looked at it and I said, now the projections for Jerickson from this account were?
6 years.
6 years, $84 million. That is $14 million a year for 6 years. He's 31.
Now, 14 is not a completely ridiculous number for one, per season. 6 years for a guy who already has 10 years in the game. And now he's only 31, mm-hmm. so he's not, he's not way past his prime or anything, but I would be surprised if any team committed 6 years to Jurickson Profar this offseason. If you were going to do $14 million, I think a 2 or 3 year deal would make more sense at a number like that. But the question is, what do you project for Jurickson Profar going forward? And I don't know what the answer is. If, you know, Jurickson and Scott Boras, who I think is still his agent, are going to say, all right.
No, I think he's gone.
Did he move on?
He's with MVP.
All right, so he moved on to Dan Lozano as well. Yeah. Okay, so either way, though, Dan Lozano is going to go in and go, he's an over 4 WAR player.
Yeah.
You know, he's still in good health and good shape. We project him to be a 4 WAR player. That's big money right now in Major League Baseball. You get a 4 WAR player, you fill your lineup with 4 WAR players, you're going to the postseason.
Sure.
You got a great team if they're all right around 4 WAR. So, you know, they're going to make that argument that he deserves a giant contract. The question is, will any team agree with that assessment and project Jurickson Profar as a guy over the next 3 seasons that's going to put up 12 WAR? And I don't know if they will or they won't.
Well, and the other question to ask, and like I said, I legit had this conversation with my wife at Disneyland yesterday, and we were talking about it, and she said, the old standard of, like, is he Jurickson Profar if he goes to play with Cincinnati? And I said, well, there's evidence to suggest the contrary, as he went to a very friendly hitter's ballpark in Colorado and didn't do much and just never really felt like a fit, you know. But is there a team out there that can get the most out of Jurickson Profar like the San Diego Padres do? I don't know. You never know until you go try. And he's certainly deserving to get paid and take care of his family for the rest of his life, Ben. That he absolutely deserves that right. $14 to $16 million a year just doesn't seem very feasible or smart, in my opinion. I just, obviously, this is the risk that you run, signing players, you know, like this that did so well on a one-year deal. You know, I don't.
But you remember what the Padres looked like without Jurickson Profar,
terrible.
As well.
Yeah,
not it wasn't good.
It's not good.
You know,
they need each other, right?
He is.
They need each other.
He is a catalyst, not simply because he, you know, gets on base and what he does, but he was a heartbeat of the clubhouse,
yes,
for the San Diego Padres.
No question. And they need each other, though. That's, I think that was her underlying point, is they're two that should match up. You know, one that you can each give a little bit. 6 years just seems like a lot for Jurickson Profar. And again, with a little more mileage on him after having a great season, he talked about the mileage. And I love the work he put in the offseason, was training with Tatis and his dad. I would expect that to continue. But, you know, why the fall off at the end of the season? I mean, it was a rough go for him for a while.
I don't think there's any doubt that the Padres would like to have Jurickson Profar back. And I don't think there's much doubt that Jurickson would like to be back. The one question in my mind, and the one that Jurickson has to explore, is another team willing to pay premium dollars for him? And I don't know the answer to that. I know the Padres are willing to pay something to keep Jurickson back.
Absolutely.
Maybe not, almost certainly not 6 years and $84 million, but there's a worth of Jurickson Profar that is well beyond the $1 million he made last year. There's also, I think, a desire on Jurickson's part to remain in San Diego, where he has been good, he is appreciated, he's loved. He is a favorite among his teammates and among fans. There's value for Jurickson in that. Is there enough value, though, if the Tigers come throwing money at him or the Guardians come throwing money at him for whatever reason? Will that end up ultimately deciding it more than what the Padres are willing to do?
It's the $84 million question. You know, nobody knows what's truly in his heart, what his desires are. You do get the sense that he is Jurickson Profar, the best version of Jurickson Profar when he is a San Diego Padre, right? And the Padres know that, and Jurickson Profar knows that, but it doesn't mean that if some other team throws, you know, 5 years, $80, $90, $100 million at him, he's not going to jump at it, as he should.
How is this going to play out in the offseason? Will it be like last offseason where he's kind of
waiting,
one of the last guys, and he's waiting and waiting, and the Padres are going like, well, you know, at some point we'll get to Jurickson. But if
it literally was like that. We kept waiting. It was the inevitable
but
thing.
He, we were writing him in to the lineup,
penciling him
in like December.
But I doubt he was getting that many or any offers last year.
But look what he did this year.
But this year he will. I mean, there will be calls from teams who look and go, okay, we could use a guy like that. And when he gets an offer in December and it's decent, you know, those offers don't always stay on the table. If you say, hey, give me some time to think about it, the other team's going to go, hey, we need a decision because otherwise we're going on to someone else. Is he going to feel the pressure to sign a contract somewhere else if the Padres aren't willing to match? Like, okay, hey, I just got this 4-year, $52 million offer from this team. Padres, will you match that? And the Padres go, it's kind of pricey for us. We'd rather not go that high. Is Jurickson just going to say, okay, I guess I got to go? I mean, you risk losing him if you don't sign him soon, but you risk overpaying him if you try to sign him quickly.
Yeah. I mean, look, you never want your team to overpay for a guy. Ever. I mean, that's just, we've done it too many times here. And I don't know, man. Like, he's definitely worth whatever he can get. And, you know, if he can get a bunch of money, you got
to
take it.
Who do you think is more likely to be an all-star next year on the Padres? Quick answer, both of you. Jurickson, Profar, or Xander Bogaerts?
Jurickson.
You think so?
Yes.
Paulie?
Yeah, I think I lean Jurickson.
Jurickson.
I do.
Because if you're going track record, Xander has a much better track record for more years.
Yeah, but one's going one way, the other's going the other. You know, one's going up, one's going down.
It's fair.
I mean, I know we know.
Right about the same age.
Yeah, we know the work and stuff that was put in by Jurickson last year. He changed a lot, man. He changed a lot about his approach. Really became a feared hitter, really became a gap-to-gap hitter. It stopped. I get it. It tailed off, certainly, at the end of the year. But I think even him at 31 years old, who's been in the league 10 years, Ben, I think even he realized, I may have to do things a little bit differently next year. He told everybody. He goes, I'm freaking exhausted. I never hit so many doubles in my life. I'm cashed, man. I'm playing every day. He played 158 games for this team and played well. Played really, really well. Really great season for him. Can you finish? You know, can you finish? Can you perform better in the postseason? Things like that. Because, you know, him and the three.
Yeah, I don't think it was an indictment on Jurickson that he ran out of gas.
Me neither. He busted his tail.
It was simply a symptom of the fact that he hadn't been asked to do it very
often
in 10 years.
That's exactly right.
He was almost like a rookie when it came to getting to September and having 130 games under his belt already. Just hadn't really done it. It's hard to be ready for it until you've done it before. It's what made Jackson Merrill's season
just
so unbelievable.
Yep, so outstanding. So I think, you know, it's going to be one of those weird, weird stories to watch this year. And you're certainly not penciling him in the starting lineup next year because he ain't getting $1 million. You know, he's going to get a lot more than that.
This hour in Ben and Woods brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited-time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon, or get the fan favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings. Go! All right, we'll come back, reset the show. We found, I don't know how new it is, but new to us, feature to the Odyssey app that Woods is intrigued by.
It's very something very special for us.
Told you about it 2 months ago.
Oh,
did you?
All right.
Now,
must have forgotten.
New to us on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.